Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The big news last week was President Biden declaring March 31st Transgender Visibility Day, which of course this year for Christians is Resurrection Sunday. This was a big topic for political pundits this week, and you may be tired of hearing about it, but we shouldn't let the story die. The November election is all about the moral direction of our country. And I believe that it was providential that the Democrats would push this proclamation unwittingly at this time so that voters would know exactly what they're voting for in November. The proclamation of Transgender Visibility Day certainly exposes and clarifies what's happening in our nation and where the political parties stand. And the conflict or the battle is not what the naive claim it to be. It's not about a bunch of people who are on the right who simply are following the personality cult of Donald Trump. It's not about racism or fascism or white supremacy on the part of the political right. It's not about the political right just wanting power. It's not about political partisanship and why can't we all just get along. All of those claims are lying accusations against the conservative right in order to serve as a smokescreen to cover up the real agenda of the left. What this is really all about is conservatives defending God and his law and the left wanting to throw off God's law and create a brave new world. This is humanism versus theism, paganism versus Christianity, the age-old battle between Jehovah worship and Baal worship, the battle between God and Satan. This is good versus evil, plain and simple. And this year, Biden's announcement to celebrate Transgender Visibility Day on Easter is a major exposure of what's happening in our country. This is Psalm chapter 2, the anti-God agenda. Let's open our eyes. God is allowing the devil to show his cards. You say, oh, well, this is just coincidence. It just happens to fall on Easter. No, this was well thought out and planned for quite some time. Leftist apostate churches have replaced the celebration of Christ's resurrection with the celebration of LGBTQ. Christ's resurrection is interpreted to be all about how you can now be you. The resurrection is about your natural self being affirmed by God. Since their fixation is on their fleshly desires, every biblical event is seen as affirming those desires and their self-will. Remember last year, the exposure of the Sparkle Creed at an evangelical Lutheran church in America. Here's that video.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit and let us confess our faith today in the words of the Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity.
Okay, that's enough of that. Here's a quote from Rachel Ward, the United Church of Christ Minister for Gender and Sexuality Justice Ministries. Apparently, that's a UCC ministry. Quote, the resurrection story holds for LGBTQ plus people of faith the ultimate promise and truth. God is constantly coming out for your love and for your personhood. So apparently that's the ultimate promise and truth. And God knows intimately the way it aches when those around us deny us our rights to be human and in relationship to each other. Resurrection this Easter Sunday can look like uplifting, not just for the disparities trans and non-binary siblings are facing, but offering space for their gifts from God to be celebrated. Rachel Ward's bio, Rachel Ward's pronouns are they, them. Ward is a public theologian and LGBTQ plus activist currently pursuing their master's degree and master's of arts in practical theology, pastoral care at Columbia Theological Seminary. Rachel is also the co-founder of Bible Query. They believe, now remember, Rachel Ward is using the pronouns they for herself, so this is talking about what she believes. They believe deeply in the work of narrative as a divine form of pastoral care. That means truth is derived from telling your story. And the embodiment that all of God's people are indeed uniquely made and deeply beloved. Rachel is passionate about the intersection of sexuality, gender, faith, and grief care for youth and adults. Rachel lives in Atlanta with their wife, Chelsea. Notice the theological statement on the t-shirt she's wearing, that God is proud of me. Here's another piece. To celebrate Eastern Canada, the Calgary Unitarians are incorporating a drag show as part of the Sunday service in order to show support for our trans siblings and serve as a sacred act of protest. Notice that the word siblings is used rather than the term our brothers and sisters, because these people reject gender language and stereotypes. So in their churches, they don't call fellow believers brothers and sisters. They call them siblings. The minister, Samaya Oakley, says, quote, "It is very powerful for me. It's important that every person knows that they're sacred, that they're whole, that they're divine." So notice her theological teaching is that we're not sinners. Our natures do not need to be changed by conversion. But instead, you know, these leftist theologians teach that we're whole and we're accepted by God just the way we are and according to how we want to be. So that's the religious promotion of transgenderism. And I'll address that further in a moment. But my point is to just recognize that LGBTQ activists deliberately want their ideology recognized on Easter. To redefine, to challenge, to protest, to deface historic Christianity. Both the religious and the secular components of LGBTQ want to replace or rather redefine the meaning of Christ's resurrection. And they do this easily by getting our political leaders to have the federal government recognize, sanction, and promote their beliefs. Case in point, by declaring a day of transgender visibility for the Easter season each year. Fox News also posted a story entitled "Religious Theme Designs Are Banned from White House Easter Egg Art Contest." And this comes from a White House poster about the event prohibiting religious theme submissions, which is really outrageous. Easter is a Christian religious holiday. The White House responded that this has been a policy enforced for decades under previous presidents. And I have no doubt that that's true. For the past 50 or so years, federal bureaucrats have believed the secular doctrine of separation of God and state. So Christ must be removed from Easter and Christmas celebrations recognized by the federal government. But then you really don't have Christmas and Easter. You have the promotion of some pagan substitute. Having long ago removed Christ, the next step is to replace Easter altogether with Transgender Visibility Day. Step number one, first, the Easter Bunny is included in the resurrection. Step number two, Christ is removed and the Easter Bunny remains. Step number three, the whole holiday is changed to celebrate some moral depravity. This is always the path of evil. First, evil is excluded, but then it's tolerated and invited to the table for the sake of equality. Then evil is expected to be affirmed and embraced, and then finally evil persecutes the good and throws out the good. We're in that final stage. In the middle of the 20th century, 1950s, 1960s, evil was just working on the toleration stage. Vice is a monster so frightfully mean as to be hated, needs but to be seen. Yet seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Alexander Pope. By the way, earlier this week, Biden was confronted by reporters concerning his Transgender Visibility Day, and Biden denied that he had anything to do with the declaration. And his press secretary also backed up his claim. But there it is on whitehouse.gov with Biden's signature on the proclamation. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said what everyone is thinking. If Biden says he has nothing to do with the proclamation, then that's even worse. Either someone else is running the government and signing Biden's name to documents, or Biden has become so senile, he doesn't even remember what he signs. Anyway, notice that this new day celebrating transgender visibility is happening when the LGBTQ movement already has 3 months and 28 days for the recognition, but that's not enough. They want more. Just last year, on May 31st, President Biden officially declared June to be Gay Pride Month. Quote, "Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2023 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Intersex Pride Month. Also, October is officially LGBTQ History Month for the purpose of teaching the ideology in public schools. They don't care about the history. And November is Transgender Awareness Month. And there are at least 28 other related holidays celebrating in the U.S. LGBTQ, such as International Asexuality Day, International Day of Pink, Day of Silence, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day, International Drag Day, and the list goes on and on. This is one of their means of evangelism in order to get government bodies, institutions to recognize and affirm their ideology. And what is the ideology they're promoting? That there should be sexual license and that gender and gender norms should be erased. This is their new religion. To replace or to redefine Christianity, this is the worship of sexual desires, no different than the ideology of Jezebel and her Phoenician Baal worship, no different than the golden calf incident at Mount Sinai and all of that ensuing immorality. This ideology or religion is described in the Bible in Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul addresses the sins of homosexual behavior as the final low in mankind's departure from God. And he ends by concluding that these people look for approval. Romans 1:32. Not only do they practice such acts of depravity, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. So the sin is not just in the practice, but in being an ally. And the approval of man is what is needed when one can't get the approval of God. For these people, truth is determined by mankind. And that's why they're so desperate for popular approval. Truth is determined by the majority vote. And any dissenter threatens their foundation. They must have everyone on board in order to assuage their conscience. The emperor with no clothes can't have a person in the kingdom saying the emperor is naked. Now, of course, there are plenty of Americans who have no problem with day of visibility for transgenders. They don't know what all the fuss is about. They don't understand why Christians see this as, you know, a negative, pivotal, watershed moment in American history. Well, the concern is because the Christian community actually believes there's a God. And there is the law of nature and nature's God. And God does judge a nation for morality. And the immorality itself destroys the character of a people. They become vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts are darkened. Christians believe that God will overthrow an immoral nation just as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That truth is mentioned over 20 times in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, that Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Here's a Bible study, 1 Kings 15 and 1 Kings 22. The righteous kings, Asa and Jehoshaphat, removed the Sodomites from the land, whereas the unrighteous kings allowed their visibility. Now, people can make up all sorts of high-sounding justifications for why governments should let people do their own thing morally, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God expects magistrates to hold people accountable to the basic natural laws of God. Drag queens, transgenders, homosexuals are not to have carte blanche rights or days of celebrations or parades. The Russians don't even allow such depravity. And no wonder the American left has switched from loving Russia to hating Russia. Now, again, you might disagree. You might think the world should be all about libertine license and moral pluralism. But at least you should know what the Bible and Christianity teaches. And recognize Christ, the prophets, the apostles, what they taught about God's way and his truth. So at least you're warned. Well, moving on. In reading through the White House Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation, let's recognize the deception here. Of course, immorality is going to have an argument. It's going to parade under the guise of virtue. The hallmark of evil is deception. The devil is not going to come along and tempt you to simply do evil. He will first claim that the evil is good and then urge you to do that good. Remember the lies of Satan in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Satan quoted scripture out of context. So here's a deception. Quote, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contribution of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to form a more perfect union, where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. So here's the first error. Using the concept of equal treatment under law as the basis for justifying immoral behavior. Imagining that equality means there needs to be a moral equivalency and acceptance of all behaviors. And if you think about it for just 2 minutes, you can see the moral trickery here. What if I wrote, we honor the extraordinary courage and contribution of pedophiles, rapists, and child pornographers. And we reaffirm our nation's commitment to form a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. Well, actually, we're at the point that many on the radical left would support that. But for those Americans who still have some vestige of biblical morality, when explained, they understand that equality cannot be the basis for morals or ethical law. So notice that the unproven, implicit assumption in this proclamation is that transgenderism is moral, so it deserves equality. That gender is fluid. And it's assumed that God gives people the right to choose their own gender and gender behaviors. The proclamation continues, I am proud that my administration has stood for justice from the start, working to ensure that the LGBTQI plus community can live openly in safety with dignity and respect. Just the alphabet salad alone, having to write LGBTQI+, should be a clue that this is insanity. But notice that which the Bible describes as an abomination in God's eyes is now described as something worthy of dignity and respect, something to be supported and strengthened. Then Biden makes the proclamation a campaign ad, something never heard of before in White House proclamations. I am proud to have appointed transgender leaders to my administration and to have ended the ban on transgender Americans serving openly in our military. I'm proud to have signed historic executive orders that strengthen civil rights protections in housing, employment, healthcare, education, the justice system, and more. I'm proud to have signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law, ensuring that every American can marry the person they love. Unquote. Biden claims to be a Christian, but here is his fatal error. He most likely believes that he's going to be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and be rewarded because he supported the desires of people. He affirmed them. He made them happy. He gave them their abortion, their transgenderism, their homosexual marriage. Like the religious left, Biden believes God's goal is up with people to cheer on human self-determinism. But Matthew chapter 7, in that day, many will say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, did we not speak in your name? And in your name cast out evil, in your name perform many works? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the error, violating the moral law of God to affirm people. Well, the proclamation goes on to state in essence that people should have the freedom to be their true selves, that that's a basic American value, that laws against transgenderism are hateful, that the reason transgenders are having mental health problems is not due to their behavior, but due to other people pointing out the error of their ways, that being transgender LGBTQ is not sin but bravery, that transgenders are not oppressing others, they are the oppressed. They're the victims, they are not deviant. Then finally, quote, today we send an entire message to all transgender Americans. You are loved, you are heard, you are understood, you belong. You are America. And my entire administration and I have your back. Also, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken jumped on board and put out a State Department statement supporting Transgender Visibility Day. The U.S. State Department knew all about this proclamation. Quote, Transgender Day of Visibility is a celebration of the courage and resilience of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming persons who exist in every country and culture around the world. On this day, the United States recognizes the achievement and the progress that trans persons have made in the global struggle for equality and reaffirms its commitment to support the equality, inclusion, and full recognition of human rights of transgender persons. So again, we see the error of making truth all about equality and the error of considering righteous moral standards oppression. You know, the administration and the Democrat Party is fully invested in this religious ideology of LGBTQ. And they know it very well. And they identify with its rage against God and God's law. The moral confusion we're hearing is amazing. It's like we're listening to Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. Because everything these politicians are saying is the standard philosophy of Satanism and paganism. It's what the anti-God crowd has been pushing for centuries. The removal of Christian moral standards from society. You know, 50 years ago, people would be ashamed to say such things. And the lawless error of anyone who made such claims would be easily dismissed. But now public leaders are saying these things, congratulating themselves for their virtue. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. The expression of their face bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. And this is a prophetic sign of the time. Luke chapter 17. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Now, in conclusion, I want to get into the religious aspects of this deception. Because transgenderism and this day of transgender visibility is being pushed by some mainline former Christian denominations. Everything's religious. People understand if there's morality at all, there has to be a God behind it. So the LGBTQ movement isn't claiming to be against God. These people are redefining God. Like Aaron, who built the golden calf and told the people, this is your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Or like the Jewish people in northern Israel in the days of Elijah the prophet, they weren't atheists. They believed in God and God's supervision over this world. But they were convinced by the prophets of Baal that the true God was Baal, not Jehovah. And the God Baal wasn't all hung up with laws against immorality and abortion. Baal was the fertility god. He was all about sexuality. And these people who loved their lust, they gravitated toward the definition of God that affirmed their sinful desires. So what Christians are up against is not just national immorality, but an immorality that is being justified by a redefinition of God. Be aware of this. And this redefinition can be quite sophisticated. There's a lot of labels and terms to be aware of, such as transgender saying on social media, God made wheat, but not bread. God made grapes, but not wine. Are you aware of what they're teaching by this? The point is that God made the basics, but it's up to us to further adjust and create. Hence, we can now go beyond what God created and make additional genders. What are we up to? 72 now? Well, where does the Bible say that? Well, don't you see their logic? God made wheat. He expects us to improve on it and turn it into bread so we can improve on God's creation and change our gender. So notice the all too common trick of imposing human reasoning on the Bible, taking some metaphysical principle or value as a basis for law, but completely ignoring the clearly enunciated law of God that you shall not lie with men as you do with women, and the universal laws in Genesis. In the beginning, he made them male and female. You know, imagine someone saying to Jesus, you don't understand, Jesus. Yes, I see that God made them male and female, but since you make wheat and want us to make bread, you must want us to adjust and improve on the genders you created. But no, that's not how these natural patterns are to be understood and how they're applied in Scripture. Gender, marriage, childbearing, family were all fixed institutions set up by God. There's another popular redefinition of God that we saw last year and this year in the Super Bowl ads, the He Gets Us campaign, put out by a leftist nonprofit group called the Servant Foundation. I believe it's associated with the United Methodist Church. Surveys found people were turned off by Jesus, and this group concluded that it was because Jesus was being portrayed as being too narrow and stringent. So they undertook a $100 million campaign to reimage Jesus. As in this ad I have up here, states, get to know Jesus on your terms. Not on his terms, but on your terms. When the He Gets Us campaign first came out 2 years ago, they sent out to the churches a pamphlet about the campaign, a He Gets Us pamphlet. And the chapters include the biggest Jesus campaign ever, chapter 2, insights into skepticism, chapter 3, the science of psychological safety, creating safe spaces, chapter 4, three surprising ways skeptical people help the church, chapter 5, Christ at the tipping point, chapter 6, tell the world that he gets us. And I looked for multiple copies of these pamphlets because I saw this as a great discipleship tool. My plan was to give copies to everyone in my church to see whether they could discern the error. Hebrews chapter 5, to train their senses to discern good and evil. And if someone likes and identifies with what was being taught in this brochure, it would be a clear sign that that person doesn't know the true Jesus, doesn't know the true gospel, doesn't understand the nature of conversion. That's how toxic and unbiblical the content of that brochure. Well, the He Gets Us Super Bowl ad shows a series of images where people are washing the feet of their opponents. A woman is washing the feet of a young mother at an abortion clinic. An oil well worker is washing the feet of a climate change protester, and a priest is washing the feet of a homosexual man. Now, yes, as Christians, we are to love our enemies. We're to do good to all men. But these images convey the idea that being like Christ means being subservient and affirming of those who are opposed to Christ. Notice Jesus did wash his disciples' feet. And he said that we're to do this for one another in the church. But Jesus didn't wash the feet of Pilate or the high priest or the Pharisees. He didn't wash Herod's feet. In fact, Jesus refused to say a single word to Herod, but stood there in defiant silence. I don't believe Jesus would have washed the feet of Herod. And Jesus' message of repentance and belief were not once mentioned in this ad. Instead, it was come and get your feet washed by Jesus because he will humble himself before you. The whole ad fed into the pride and the ego of the sinner, the abortionist, the climate activist, the homosexual. And the whole ad was wokeism, how the intersectional hierarchy of oppression must be obeyed. But that's the Jesus some people want. And that's the Jesus the Servant Foundation believes is the real Jesus. He's the Jesus they want to promote, the Jesus who affirms you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Even the apostles warned of a substitute Jesus. Verses 3 and 4. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. The warning is that there will come a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel, and we're not to put up with it. Here's a lesson. Not only in the last days will there be a great outbreak of lawlessness, the very person of God will be redefined to justify this lawlessness. There will be two types of Christianity. You'll have either the He Gets Us Jesus, or the You Must Repent Jesus. They're not the same, if you listen to what's being said. And the difference ultimately leads to the difference between Resurrection Sunday versus Transgender Visibility Day. In the one, Jesus will forgive our sins. In the other, Jesus will affirm our sin. So which Jesus are you believing? Which Jesus are you following? This week it was pointed out that the resurrection of Christ is a perfect event to demonstrate where this will all end. In the crucifixion, evil thought it had won. It had finally gotten rid of Christ and his authority. He would not rule the nations with a rod of iron because they were able to bury him. But to the shock of Christ's enemies, he arose. He triumphed over evil. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. When he had disarmed rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Christ. The world thought it was shaming Christ in a public display, but in the end, they were put to shame. And this is how this current situation in our nation will end. And this is how the world will end, with Christ triumphing. May Jesus Christ reign.